Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the Siders family case from Hamden, Ohio. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the alleged crime, then offer my analysis. In 2026, the Siders family lived in Hamden, Ohio. This is a rural village in southern Ohio, 79 miles south of Columbus, and it is home to about 700 people. The members of the Siders family included 79-year-old Gary Siders Sr., his 67-year-old wife Christina Siders, their 36-year-old son Gary Siders Jr., and Gary's 33-year-old wife Elizabeth Siders. Gary Siders Jr. and Elizabeth Siders, who married on March 31, 2008 in West Virginia, had 16 children ranging from 1.5 to 18 years old. The family of 20 rented a 1,300-square-foot house at 182 Omer Street, which was owned by the trustee of an elderly woman who died in 2025. The house, which features one bathroom, was valued at $68,000 and had a scenic view of railroad tracks across the street. The family had lived in this house since 2022. Prior to this, they had lived in other various counties in southern Ohio and at one point in Wisconsin. Now moving to the timeline of the alleged crime. On Tuesday, June 30, 2026, at about 10 a.m., the police went to the Siders family house on Omer Street to execute search warrants as part of an ongoing investigation. There was also an arrest warrant for Gary Siders Jr. He had been charged with 4 counts of public indecency. He allegedly committed these offenses on May 23, May 27, May 29, and May 31. Inside the house, the police made a horrible discovery. The home was extremely unsanitary and filled with human waste. The 16 children of Gary Siders Jr. and Elizabeth Siders were spending most of their time in a room measuring 12 feet by 12 feet. The children had blank expressions on their faces, and some of them were unable to speak. The oldest child, who was 18, appeared to be developmentally disabled and could not write her own name. Despite her age, she is being treated as a minor by the authorities. All 16 children were placed in temporary state custody. 7 of them were taken to hospitals in Columbus. At least one was in critical condition. The police arrested Gary Siders Sr., Christina Siders, Gary Siders Jr., and Elizabeth Siders and charged them with 16 counts of endangering children. They were each held on a $300,000 bond. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number 1. The conditions in the Siders family house were described as deplorable. First responders almost fell through the floor of the home, which suggests that the floor had rotted out. Cockroaches and other insects were plentiful, as was human waste, and the house was permeated by a potent and unbearable smell. It was the kind of odor that would attach to and remain on a person's clothing. Some odors linger. This one had filled out a change of address form and established residency. Public records indicated that the house had running water, sewer service, and trash service. All these services were in the name of Christina Siders. The exact arrangement the family had that allowed them to stay in the house is not clear. As I mentioned, it was owned by a trustee of an elderly woman who had died in 2025. The woman was in her 90s when she passed away. The media tried to speak to the trustee to find out the story, but she was not interested in being interviewed. Item number 2. None of the children were enrolled in school, and neighbors claim they did not see any children at the house, ever. A local pizza shop routinely delivered to the house, but family members would meet the driver outside. This suggests that the family worked diligently to keep their activity concealed. Investigators said the family appeared to have avoided creating medical and government records, and they were pretty adept at keeping the children out of sight. Other reports make it seem like the family was not particularly secretive. For example, all of Elizabeth's children were born in area hospitals, at least according to her attorney. This means someone must have seen them. An employee of a local Dollar General store said that the family members were regular customers. They would buy items like water, vegetable oil, and sugar. On occasion, the family members were accompanied by children. All of them smelled terrible, possessing an unforgettable and potent odor which would linger in the store after their departure. People offered the family clothing and hygiene products, but there was no evidence they ever used them. Item number 3. The attorney assigned to represent Elizabeth Siders indicated that Elizabeth was distraught, timid, and interested in seeing her children. She was not aware of all the media attention that the case had attracted. Some people have suggested that Elizabeth could be a victim in this situation, in addition to being an alleged perpetrator. Elizabeth also mentioned that her husband Gary Siders Jr. was driving for DoorDash and looking for another job. If Gary was trying to support 20 people with DoorDash, arithmetic itself can be added to the list of victims. The attorney assigned to represent Gary Siders Sr. indicated that there were concerns about Gary's competence, mental health, and ability to assist in his own defense. Gary is in a wheelchair and has uncertain verbal abilities. Item number 4, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. The most troubling aspect of this story is how 4 adults were allegedly fine with having 16 children spend most of their time in a 144-square-foot room for years. It stands to reason that there was a primary perpetrator, and not every adult had the same level of culpability. For instance, Gary Siders Sr. may not have understood what was happening. He may not have been the driving force behind the alleged crime. It's too early in the case to know exactly what happened, but it stands to reason that mental health factors could have played a part in this outcome. Many people who encountered members of the Siders family mentioned how they were afflicted with a terrible and pervasive odor. It is possible that the family members had low disgust propensity and sensitivity, which allowed them to tolerate this type of smell. Disgust propensity is how easily a person feels disgust. Disgust sensitivity refers to how bothered, threatened, ashamed, or preoccupied a person is by the experience of disgust itself. There are 3 dimensions of disgust propensity and sensitivity: pathogen, sexual, and moral. The domain related to squalor cases is pathogen disgust. This is the normal avoidance response to feces, urine, rotten food, vomit, insects, parasites, bad smells, and visible contamination. Pathogen disgust is the reason that when people see excrement on the floor, they say, "Clean this up," and not, "Let's renew the lease." People with low pathogen disgust tolerate filth, waste, dirty clothing, garbage, vermin, and other stimuli that most people would find intolerable. They may not clean up after themselves, children, or animals, and they tend to normalize unsanitary conditions. They do not have the typical alarm response that would motivate them to correct a disgusting situation. Associated characteristics include poor insight, lack of shame, lack of concern, and refusal of assistance. They may not see themselves as needing help from anyone. Again, they view their circumstances as normal. The typical personality profile associated with low pathogen disgust is low conscientiousness, low extroversion, low agreeableness, and low neuroticism. Openness to experience does not have an association with the construct. There is a moderate negative correlation with psychopathy, that is, decreased pathogen disgust is associated with increased psychopathy. One might expect to see traits like being callous, cold, fearless, manipulative, and remorseless. Mental disorders associated with low pathogen disgust include schizophrenia, substance use disorder, and personality pathology. Developmental issues play a part in pathogen disgust. Social learning and cultural transmission are important in shaping disgust responses. In the Siders family house, it's possible that the children developed low pathogen disgust because they were taught that disgusting stimuli should be tolerated. They grew up in an environment where no effort was made to avoid that stimuli. The isolation component prevented them from having sufficient contact with non-family members to learn values outside the family. For instance, if they had gone to school, they would have quickly learned that terrible odors are not acceptable. Item number 5. Several years ago, I covered the Turpin family tragedy, which possesses a few parallels to the Siders family case. David and Louise Turpin were from West Virginia and ultimately ended up in California. Between 1988 and 2005, they had 13 children. The couple held their children hostage in the family home using many tactics, including manipulation, and fear. They had a strong obsession with food and keeping it away from their children, which led to malnourishment. Access to food was managed with the generosity of an airline snack cart. Ultimately, the couple's 17-year-old daughter, Jordan, escaped and contacted the police. Her courage led to the rescue of her siblings. David and Louise Turpin pleaded guilty to 14 offenses and received life in prison with the possibility of parole after 25 years. The Siders family case is in the early stages as far as the investigation. However, I wonder if the manipulation was a key aspect, just like it was in the Turpin case. None of the reports about the Siders family indicate that there were physical restraints or barriers that prevented anyone from leaving the house. This leads me to believe that the Siders may have convinced the children that the world was an extremely dangerous place. They somehow suppressed the natural curiosity of the children and led them to believe there would be no point in escaping because outsiders were even worse. Perhaps the Siders constructed a prison out of fear, a building material that was plentiful, resilient, cheap, and extremely effective. Those are my thoughts on the Siders family case. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.